Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud. Last week we began Perek Yud on Pasuk Aleph. We're up to Pasuk Beis. So the Pasuk we began by speaking how Shmuel and Shaul finally are alone, and it was an opportunity for Shmuel to anoint Shaul. And as you mentioned, it was unusual the way he was anointed. It wasn't with a Karen with a horn, but rather it was with a earthenware vessel, which represents his temporary nature of being a melech. We discussed also in the Radak the word Vishalkehu, that they kissed, and the Medrash that discusses the significance of a kiss. Let's see Pasuk Beis. B'lechtecha hayom me'imadi. So when you leave me today, what Shmuel is going to tell Shaul, because he was now told he was a king, is that he wants to make sure that he knows 100% that he's going to be the king. And therefore he's going to show him three different signs to prove that this will be the case. You're going to find two men, Im Kevuras Rachel, who are nearby Kevur Rachel, Bigvul Binyamin, Betzelsach, by the border of Binyamin in Tzeltzach. Rashi says that is a break of two words. Tzel Betzach Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Shehu Tzel Edom V'hi Yerushalayim. So Tzel Betzach is a sail, is a shade which represents by Yerushalayim. So anyway, the pasuk continues and says, "V'amri lecha nimsu huasanos asher halach l'vakesh." Shaul only encountered Shmuel because he was looking for his father's donkeys, and now he's going to encounter someone that are going to tell him exactly where those donkeys are. Dehine, they're going to say, "Behold, notash avicha esdirei huasanos." Notash, Mr. Sion says, "Ozav." That your father has forsaken those donkeys. V'dog lachem lemor ma es elivni. So he's no longer worrying about the donkeys, and instead he begins to worry about something else, namely ma es elivni. What happened to my child? And we mentioned in a previous parak, the beginning of parak tests, which we don't have in our packet here, about the great qualities of Shaul, why he deserved to be a king, is that when he was with his servant, his nar, he, after spending a lot of time looking for these donkeys, he said, quote, "Let's go back, because pen yechtel avi min hasonos v'doag lonu," that maybe my father's not going to any longer be afraid, worried about these donkeys. Instead of v'doag lonu, he's going to start worrying about us. And that was the great quality of Vidoag Lanu, is that he didn't only think that my father's going to worry about me, because it's my son. Obviously, you would think that's the only person he really cares about, not the servant. Lanu, so he compared himself, put him on the same level as this nar. But of course, you see this pasuk, that the reality was, obviously, it was really ma'as l'vni. The whole concern is, where is my son? Not where is this nar, where is this attendant? Okay. Pasuk Gimel. V'cholachta mishom. So that's going to be the first sign. You're going to end up having this conversation with these people. We're going to talk about the donkeys. Fine. V'cholachta mishom v'halah. V'cholachta, says Mesudas Sion, inyan ha'avara, that you're going to pass through this area. V'asa ad elon tavor, and you're going to go to the plain of Tabor, Umitsaucha Sham Shoshanosh, and there you're going to find three men, Olim El Hoelokim Beis El, and they're going to have ascended to Beis El. Echad, and just to even specify, because of course there's always three people, so what exactly are they doing? Echad Nosei Shlosha Gidoi, three of them are going to be having three kids, the goats. Ve'echa nosei shloshes karos lechem. Three of them are going to be holding loaves of bread, three. Ve'echa nosei nevel yoyin. And the other one is going to be carrying a container of wine. So why are they doing this? Now, obviously, they're carrying these items because they want to go to the base ale, probably to serve Hashem. That's why they're bringing the bread, they're bringing the wine, and these animals for sacrifice. But what's going to happen? Pasuk tells us with Sha'alu Chol Shalim that they're going to greet you. They're going to offer you two loaves of bread, and you're going to take it from them. So what's the tremendous mile about this? Because if there's three breads, let's pretend that they're not bringing for a sacrifice. First of all, if they're bringing for a sacrifice, why are they giving to the complete stranger? So, fine, let's say they're keeping those breads for themselves. So there's three of them, so each person should have a bread. Why would you be giving a complete stranger two? Very bizarre. And therefore, that unusual behavior is also going to prove beyond a shadow of doubt that in fact you are the Melech, and this is not just some strange coincidence. He brought down in English over here on page 61, on the top left, he says, quotes the word the Malbim. The Malbim comments that the items carried by the three men, so the question is why do you need three men, just have one person. It symbolized three different goals of godly service. Three kids for offering symbolize a person whose sole intention is to serve Hashem without any desire for personal benefit, which is the highest madrega, like an ola, completely offer everything of yourself to God. The three loaves indicate a person who hopes to be rewarded with his essential personal needs, like bread, which is simple and necessary. So at least Hashem will take care of my basic needs for survival. And then finally, the wine alludes to pleasure and luxury. Its bearer serves God but longs for the good life in return. So there's three different levels of serving in Kodesh Baruch Hu. Completely Lishma. Second one is, I can just get by with the basics. And then finally, I want wine. I want the most luxuries. So we look at the words of the Radak over here. The Radak discusses this location of base ale. The Radak tells us, that was just underlined, who lose Shekaru Yaakov base ale. In Sefer Bereishis, we find that Yaakov Avinu calls Luz base ale. V'sham ha'yam is back Shabbat Yaakov. And over there is a place in which Yaakov brought Karbonos on him as Be'af. V'shas heter abamos ha'yam akribim shom. It's the time of heter abamos. It wasn't a time in which bringing sacrifices on private altars were prohibited. Therefore, it wasn't an issue. So that was the second thing that we're going to see. And then finally, the Pasuk continues in Pasuk Hey, that Achar Kain, afterwards, Tabo, Givas Hu'elokim. You're going to go to the hill of Hashem, Asher Shom Netzivei Plishtim, and in that situation, you're going to see the commissioners of the Plishtim who are standing over there on guard, obviously because there are enemies. When you go there to this city, Ho'ir, you're going to see a group of Nevi'im, prophets, Yoridim Mihabama, that they were at the Bama, and they're descending from this higher place. With Nahem, and in front of them will be Nevel, the Tov, the Chol, the Kinor, the Hemo, Misnabim. So they're prophesizing, and they have a Nevel, Tov, Chol, and Kinor, which the Masud of Sion helps us a little bit and tells us these are Shemos Minei Klezener. These are different types of musical instruments translated as harps and drums, flutes, etc. And they were prophesizing there. Behem is Nabim. So when we hear this Pasuk, it's kind of unusual because it sounds like when you would think of a Navi, you don't think of him playing the electric guitar and playing the violin. It's very bizarre. What is he doing, banging on his drums? What does that have any shaykhus whatsoever to being a Navi? So we look in the words of the Radak toward the bottom, and then the Masud HaSion, which will be echoing this thought, says, Hevel Navi'im, Targum Yonasan, Sias Safrayah. This is referring to a group of scribes. Ratzalom or Talmidim. Not just that they were musicians, but they were actually Talmidei Chachamim. Ki Talmidei Chachamim Nikru Sofer. because this is what they're called. They're called Sofrim. Ve'elu hayu talmidi hanavim hagdolim. These were actually, some say, the talmidim of Shmuel. Talmidim hayu nikroim b'nei hanavim. They're considered to be b'nei hanavim. Hanavim hagdolim shahayu ba'osu zman ve'eli ad David hayu Elkana u'Shmuel. The God v'nasan v'asan v'himon v'yodosan. So it gives an elaborate list of those great people. We see the next radak. He says, "If they have never tov v'kol v'kino, these various musical instruments, why on earth are these great neviim involved in playing musical instruments? You know, maybe you should. They can hire a band or they can hire a DJ. What's the inyan of neviim playing musical instruments?" So radak says a beautiful point, which the Mesudas Dov is going to echo. Ki ruach hakodesh ein shara ella mitoich simcha. The only way that one could possibly have any level of nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come to you is only at a time in which a person is happy. If we look at Mesudas David says, "B'chdeilus l'samchom l'hashus nevuah aleihem." The purpose of these musical instruments is to make them happy. Ki ein hashchina shor el mitol simcha. The only way that Hashem is going to come and give a person nevuah is not if that person is a depressed individual. A person who is a depressed individual is not shaykh for nevuah. You have to be happy. So the musical instruments was the external stimuli that was utilized in order to be able to bring about the capability of being able to receive nevuah. We're going to see in a moment that he in fact receives nevuah as well.
You know, I would think that there might be something to make this more of a pella. Yeah, and that is that we just said that there are the Tzivei Plishtim here, because there are guards there from the government or whatever they are.
Right.
They're certainly not going to be thrilled to see the Nevi'im coming and people coming from the church. And here they're playing musical instruments, almost drawing attention to themselves.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say it in a different way, that they're using it almost as a way to disguise their...
Maybe. If you want to look at it that
way. Well, you're right. It seems like they're...
Yeah. The other thing is that in the previous part, what I find interesting there is the numbers. And if you play with numbers there, you have three people bringing seven items, and then giving away two items, giving you five items. So it's all prime numbers. You know, and and plus that they're numbers that we use a lot, the three and the seven particularly, the five not so much, but it's very interesting why those particular numbers.
Right.
And I think that might be something that Charles would view as saying that this is some sort of poetry, particularly those numbers.
We'll see a few reasons as to why these are the particular siman and why these are the signs that he has to see to prove that in fact he's going to be the melech. We'll get to that. So that's something we'll see. Let's just see Pesukim Vav and Zayin. We're only going to be able to see these two Pesukim. But Solcha Olecha Ruach Hashem. The Solcha Mesudas Zion translates this Va'ab. Again, you're going to pass by this, and you're going to this Ruach Hashem is not his Nabisa Imam. And not only are they going to have a Nevuah, not only will these people prophesy, but also you're going to prophesy together with them. And then he says, V'nefachtol Ish Acher. You're going to completely be changed into another person. It's not just today I'm a regular person and tomorrow I'm a king, but taking upon yourself that role of position of power literally changes the human that person. Bahaya ki tavona osonos ela loch. And after these signs come to you, he mentions that you're going to be able to. What will happen? Asilcha asher timsa yodecha. You shall do that which is found in your hand, that which you're capable of. Hielkim imach, because Hashem is with you. So, the question again is, what's the symbolism of these signs? Can we the third one, which discussed the importance of being sameach by playing musical instruments, and it's actually brought down according to one pshat. That we find when it came to Yitzchak, that before he wanted to give a bracha to Esav, that he said, "Why don't you go and get me some food?" Right? Shaila is what? Why? Like, if he wants to give him a bracha, give him a bracha. Of course, he had to leave. It was the brachas were taken. So some explain that Yitzchak needed a feast in order to be in a proper frame of mind to give the blessings to his son. Which is the same inyan. It wasn't just words, but it was certainly something which would allude to a futuristic time. And therefore, similar to the Nevi'im, they would need to be have the proper mindset so they would play these musical instruments, and that's what was done as well. We look in the English over here, he brings down the significance of the signs. He says that the first sign which talked about where are these people situated by Kever Rachel. Why do we need to know that they came from Kever Rachel? Who cares? What is the symbolism of that? It's because we know that Shaul, he felt when he was offered the position, he said, me? How could I accept the position? After all, I am from Shevet Binyamin. When it comes to Malchus, it's not supposed to come from Binyamin, it's supposed to come from Huda. And therefore, the fact that these people came at that point, Dafka, from Kever Rachel, that was a hint to him that in fact he was fit to be Melech. Furthermore, it's brought down in the Parshios, B'Sipri HaNaviim, that the second about giving bread, why did they give bread to him? Because, you know, when you have a king, he has certain taxes and makes certain requirements that the person has to pay him. So the fact that they gave them bread was a sign of like paying homage. And then the last is brought down over here, that the symbolism of the band playing, it says, finally Shaul encountered a band of people who had been studying and laboring for years to earn the gift of prophecy, yet Shaul was catapulted to this spiritual zenith. How is it shayach that a person who was never a Navi, he becomes just a Navi, he's going to have a Navua? How is that possible? Obviously, that's a sign that, in fact, he was supposed to be Melech. To become a Navi, it's not something that just happens. It takes tremendous discipline in years and years of hard work. It's brought down in the Mishpat Zahav a little bit of a different explanation as to the symbolism of these three signs. He says, Shemati miyadidi hayakar harav ramoish tzedek shlita. He says that what is the significance of these three? So he says the first sign is shekadai shehaadam yizaka melucha sar shehelo shlosh devarim. In order to be a melech, there's three things that you need. First of all, haskamas mishpachto. You need to be able to receive from your family permission to accept this position. And he brings down the Gemara, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, when he was offered the position of Nasi, after Rebbe Gamliel was removed from his Nasius, that he couldn't just immediately accept it. Rather, the Gemara says, Ezel v'imlech be'en shebesi. Let me go and ask my wife. And of course, that was the Nais, his beard grew gray, Harni k'ben shemashana. So the first thing you have to do is ask your family. So the first story is connected to Binyamin, which connects to his mishpacha, that he received haskama from his family. The second is haskama satzibur, that the tzibur, not just your family has to say, okay, you can accept this position, but also you have to see from strangers that, in fact, you're someone that is fit for this position. And the fact that they gave him bread was a sign, as we discussed also, that must be that he's someone fit to be a melech. And the third sign is that it's necessary to have haskama, not just from your family, not just from the tzibor, but also you have to have haskama from the Shemayim, from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that was the very last of these signs, was the nevuah. And the fact that he would be receiving a Nevuah, and the fact that the Nevi'im, he encountered them at this particular time, would be a siman, in fact, that he would be the next Melech. So those are some explanations as to why he encountered these particular. It doesn't discuss really the numbers so much of why each one, two and three.
Little parallel, not exactly, to the Kohen on Yom Kippur. It has to be talking about a small, which then would actually be the third thing between him, Beit Shamayim, Ba'at Beit Ho, and then Ba'at Kol Yisrael.
Right. So it's about a similar idea. Okay. We are going to, we only have a couple minutes, so we might as well stop at this point. Mechanana ben akashra, ratza kudush baruch, zonu shuvim, karbeham, tarom, mitzvah, shnemar, adonai chavetz, oman, sitko, yadil, torov, yadir, kadosh.